This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Monday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 363, up 10. March corn, 376 and three quarters, up 10. May corn, 385 and a half, up 10 and a quarter. November soybeans, 1006, up 28 and a half. January soybeans, 1012 and three quarters, up 29 and a half. March soybeans, 1019 and a half, up 29 and a half. December wheat, 522 and three quarters, up 5. March wheat, 536 and a half, up 5 and a half. May wheat, 544, up 5 and a quarter. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Monday afternoon, with corn and soybean prices ending sharply higher. Stronger values for soybean meal and export sales helped to pull soybean prices higher. And in today's USDA crop progress report, it showed that the Illinois corn crop was now 59% harvested, up 16% from last week, and soybean harvest was now 63% done, compared to only 37% last week. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 10 cents at 318 to 333. Soybean bids 28 to 29 cents higher at 955 to 980. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 8 to 10 higher at 313 to 333, while soybean bids were 26 to 27 cents stronger at 962 to 998. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 9 to 12 higher at 305 to 330. Soybean bids 27 to 30 cents stronger at 955 to 1001. And the wheat bids up 4 to 6 cents at 407 to 453. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids up 18 to 28 cents at 988 to 1016. Basis ended steady to 10 cents lower, ranging from 18 under to 10 over November. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $406.80 to $427.80. That's up $26.60 to $31.60 per ton, with basis steady to $5 per ton, stronger at $30 to $51 over December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids up a dime at $3.18 to $3.48, with basis steady ranging from $45 under to $15 under December. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 10 to 20 cents stronger at 313 to 338, with basis steady to 10 cents stronger, range from 50 under to 25 under December. Soybeans were up 24 to 28 cents at 991 to 994, with basis down 1 to 5 cents, range from 15 under to 12 under November. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 10 to 13 cents stronger at 333 to 336. These same elevators raised their soybean prices by 26 to 29 cents, ranging from 1024 to 1027. Soft red winter wheat 5 cents higher at 398 to 493, and Milo gained a dime up to 382 to 383. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for January delivered corn range from 332 up to 356. January soybean bids range from 980 up to 1007. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 338 to 355. January soybean bids at 981 to 1020. And in the southern part of the state, January corn bids range from 337 up to 362. January soybean bids 990 to 1031. And June-July delivery wheat in southern Illinois, those bids range from 481 up to 522. That completes our country grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Monday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle, 169.55, up $1.30. December live cattle, 167.82, up 92 cents. February live cattle, 168.05, up $1.50. October feeder cattle, 238.32, up 42 cents. November feeder cattle, 234.80, up 15 cents. January feeder cattle, 229.45, up 55 cents. December lean hogs, 89.05, down $1.20. February lean hogs, 88.22 down 65 cents. April lean hogs, 88.30 down 90 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 27th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.15 lower in the range of $76 to $89, with a weighted average carcass price of $88.28. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 58 to 64, 4 to 5 weight 62 to 67, 5 to 6 weight 64 to 69, and 600 pounds and up 65 to 73. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $60 to $65. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 16,759 head. And now for the recap from the Fairview sale barn. They had a special feeder cattle sale, starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones. Four weights were 302.50 to 317. Five weights were 265.50 to 311. Six weights were 247.50 to 258. Then they had some feeder steers, medium and large ones and twos. Seven weights brought 223.25 to 235, and eight weights were 212 to 223. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones. Four weights were 251 to 277, five weights 243 to 270, and six weights 229 to 259. They also had feeder bulls. Four weights bringing 283 to 303, and six weights 221 to 225. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, we had no reportable trade. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 277 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $100.11, and that was $1.86 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $349.20, and that was $1.79 higher, with select carcasses at $235.99, that was $3.28 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was established at 113,000. That compared to 114,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 432,000. That compared to 429,000 last week and 431,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. October and November corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.29. October and November corn delivered to Scottville, $3.29. October beans delivered to Greenfield, $9.82. November beans delivered to Greenfield, $9.87. October beans delivered to Scottville, $9.82. November beans delivered to Scottville, $9.87. October wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.57. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield and Scottville is $3.29. Beans at Greenfield and Scottville are $9.82, and wheat at Scottville is $4.57. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, now offers an online tool for data. The tool allows for rapid access to Census of Agriculture maps and data about farms in more than 3,000 counties across the U.S. The web maps will give farmers, ranchers, researchers, planners, nonprofits, and industry easy access to important data that impact nearly every aspect of agriculture, according to NAS Administrator Joseph Riley. The interactive maps allow users to navigate an area and print and display that exact area's data. It provides users a way to visualize and analyze the 2012 Census of Agriculture data. Anyone can access and use the Ag Census web maps. You can find new maps online at agcensus.usda.gov. The Illinois Crop and Weather Report has been released. Warm, dry weather allowed farmers ample time for harvesting during the week ending October 26th. Corn harvest increased 16 percentage points from the previous week, and soybean harvest was up 26 percentage points. There were 6.2 days suitable for field work during the week. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.03 inches, 0.61 inches below normal. The average temperature was 53.7 degrees, 1.6 degrees above normal. Corn harvest was 59% complete, 12 percentage points behind last year, and 13 percentage points behind the five-year average. Corn condition remained at 83% good to excellent. Soybean harvest was 63% complete, 20 percentage points behind last year, and 14 percentage points behind the average. Soybean condition was rated at 80% good to excellent. Sorghum mature reached 93% and sorghum harvest was 57% complete. Pasture condition was rated at 1% very poor, 4% poor, 23% fair, 53% good, and 19% excellent. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 5% short, 73% adequate, and 22% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 1% very short, 8% short, 79% adequate, and 12% surplus. Right now, farmers in Brazil are waiting to plant their soybean crop. It's been too dry to start the planting season, says agricultural economist and storm weather meteorologist Mike Tinnera.
Many areas are running 2-inch to 4-inch rainfall deficit so far for the month of October. It's not that unusual to see dryness at this time of the year, and that's still valid, but usually by now we would start to see more rain in the future. But we're just not seeing the best in the way of rain chances. Remember that in Brazil, it's different than the U.S., and that you need it to rain fairly heavily at the beginning of your growing season in order to increase soil moisture and then allow planting to begin and for germination to occur.
Brazilian farmers are forced to wait for rain to fall, replenishing the dry soils before they start sowing the soybean crop.
So they must have that first big rain for planting to begin. A lot of these areas have not seen that, and that's why we're seeing corn and soybean planting fall behind schedule.
This delayed planting does not necessarily spell danger for this crop, but there are concerns for Brazil's second or safrinha crop.
So if this crop ends up being harvested, say, 1 month late, that means the second crop will be planted 1 month late. And the problem there is that they have a very sharp end to the rainy season, which is what we're waiting for right now. We want that rainy season to begin. But just as it begins very quickly, it can also end very suddenly, and that usually happens in March or April. If that happens suddenly, right after this second crop is planted, that would then become a significant issue for second planted crops in Brazil, and most of that crop is corn. So that'll be an issue in the spring, not so much right now, but there are things going on, and these issues will linger more than likely for several months.
Farmers will have to worry about added instability in the commodity markets all the way into next summer as concerns ebb and flow about the size of the second crop corn harvest in Brazil. The Illinois Department of Agriculture and the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association urge fertilizer dealers and farmers to practice both safety and stewardship this fall when applying anhydrous ammonia to prevent accidents and protect water quality. When not handled properly, anhydrous ammonia can cause serious injury and harm to the environment. Studies have shown most accidents involving this nitrogen fertilizer could have been prevented. Illinois Department of Agriculture Bureau Chief of Ag Products Inspection, Jerry Kerback, said inadequately managing ammonia hoses, failing to maintain safety devices on toolbars, and improperly securing tanks during highway and field transportation are among the leading causes of accidents. The proper application of the product is just as important as its proper handling to protect water quality and to keep the fertilizer for the crop. The IFCA and the Illinois Agronomy Handbook advise waiting until soil temperatures drop below 50 degrees at the 4-inch level and will continue to drop to apply ammonia, as well as stabilizing fall-applied ammonia with a nitrification inhibitor to keep it in a non-leachable form throughout the remainder of the fall and into the spring season. Farmers should be especially careful during the harvest season. Todd Gleason has more on the nation's most dangerous job and the risk of electrocution.
The stats say about 60 farm workers will be electrocuted by accident this year. Most of them will be handling equipment, anything from a long ladder to a grain auger. The point of contact, says University of Illinois Extension farm safety specialist Bob Aharon, is normally an overhead power line.
The most common accident is we're moving a grain auger around bends, and we move it around and we get it caught in a power line, and either they're moving it by hand or moving it with a tractor or whatever, gets entangled in a power line, and somebody steps off the tractor, and then you become energized when that happens and be electrocuted. So it's important that we make sure that we're moving away from the power lines, we're lowering our equipment down if it's something that can be lowered like a grain auger. Another common accident is where we're trying to either raise a grain truck bed, maybe to take dew off of a tarp or something like that, or to unload it for some reason, and we're near an overhead power line. We always need to make sure if we raise something on a bed, or we load something up on a trailer or a truck, that we look where the overhead power lines are and make sure we're away from that when we're doing that kind of loading activity or raising a bed, because a number of our electrocutions occur from that activity alone, where we raise the bed of a truck, or we load a tractor on top of a trailer or something and get it caught in the overhead power line. And then someone steps off the machine as soon as they touch ground. Once their body touches ground, still touching equipment, they're going to be electrocuted.
Many types of farm equipment can come into contact with overhead power lines. Tractors with front-end loaders, portable grain augers, fold-up cultivators, and equipment with antennas easily can become an electrical hazard and must be operated with care. When contact is made, the operator sometimes safely gets off the machine. This can only happen if the overhead line is dead, or the operator does not touch the machine and the ground when exiting. Sometimes they make the mistake of feeling safe and return to the machine. It's a deadly mistake if the overhead power line is live. If your tractor comes in contact with overhead power lines, stay on the tractor. Ask someone to contact the local utility company immediately to remove the danger. If there's an emergency, like an electrical fire, and you need to leave the equipment, jump as far away from the equipment as possible. Do not allow any part of your body to touch the equipment and the ground at the same time. Once you get away from the equipment, never attempt to get back on or even touch that equipment. Many electrocutions occur when the operator dismounts and, realizing nothing has happened, tries to get back on the equipment. The best way to handle emergencies is by prevention. Respect electricity and avoid contact with overhead lines. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.